This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Behind home plate, we bringing it to them all day. You know what's up, welcome to Birdland. Win or lose, we bringing it to you always. You know what's up, welcome to Birdland. Orange or black, we rebuild the pack. No matter where we at, you know we coming back. Section 336, we on this, so tune in. You know what's up, welcome to Birdland. Yeah, yeah, welcome to Birdland. You know what's up.
Come the boys from Section 336.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Baltimore sports fans of all ages, welcome to Section 336, next generation of Baltimore sports talk. I am your endearingly stuttering host, Matt Sroka. As always, joined by the button lover, Josh Sroka.
Hey, Matt, good to talk to you again today. We had to take last week off, which we rarely do, and it's simply because I couldn't talk to you.
Yep, it's hard to do a podcast when one of the co-hosts cannot talk.
Yeah, I had a, what did I say it was? A sinus infection that took my voice out last week. Mm. And I know I tried calling you at one point, and you said this would be an embarrassment.
It was embarrassing to talk to you for 2 minutes. 2 minutes was much too long to talk to you like that.
I was trying to do my, I was doing my normal work job throughout the week.
Employees were sick of you.
When people would call me, I would not answer the phone. I would text them back and say, I lost my voice. We can handle this over text message.
Yeah, that's what you got to do when your voice sounds like that. I've never had a sinus infection. Therefore, I think it's kind of made up, and I don't really believe you. But all right. Sounds good.
About what?
I don't believe you heard me. It's never happened to me. I know I heard you. I heard you.
You heard my voice. You heard me.
I know. I've lost my voice before from being either sick or shouting a lot. So I get that.
Oh, I went to the doctors because I said this doesn't make any sense. And they gave me some medicine and said it was a sinus infection. And that's when I told you, all right, I got medicine. It'll be better tomorrow. And the next day it was worse.
Yeah. Yeah, it's about that. Well, I hope your voice is rested because Josh is telling me pre-show that we're going to record and we're not going to stop the show till Carlos Correa signs his deal. So we're going to keep on doing this podcast until Carlos Correa signs with the Orioles, whether that takes, you know, 4 hours, 12 hours, 48 hours,
or a lifetime.
Carlos Correa signs with the Orioles.
I feel like we've done that bit before for other people that had better chances to sign than Carlos Correa right now.
I'm hoping the news breaks live while we're on the show. But let's not get it twisted, boys and girls. We don't have a lot of time here. We got a lot to cover. So let's jump right into it. You know what time it is. You guys have been waiting all year for this. I'm going to start, people start different ways. I always like on my screen to start top left. We're in the Western Conference. We got Gonzaga.
It's March Madness.
I got Gonzaga.
I totally forgot.
I will go through and read every single one of my picks for the next half hour. If you don't like it, boys and girls, go ahead and skip it the next half hour. Going to be a while. We got Boise State versus Memphis. And someone in the control room, do not let Josh cut my mic like he's done in the past.
There is so much going on in sports today. I told you we've got a ton of stuff to talk about, and this is where you want to go. You want to go with March Madness?
We got the UConn Huskies going on 32 and then pass there to the Sweet 16. That's where we got the Huskies going. I think the matchup of the tournament is Arkansas versus Vermont.
Winner and what?
Going to what, the eight.
What division are they in?
Arkansas is in the SEC.
No, in the brackets.
Oh, I'm in the West.
When I roll into the
Alabama against Rutgers or
we're not doing the brackets. If you wanted to spin this into Tom Brady talk, I could let you go with the football. There's not sure if you know this, Matt, but news might be slow to get you up in Maryland, but the lockout ended. We have actual baseball stuff, well, at least players that have shown up in Florida. And you want to talk about March Madness.
I'm sorry.
Just post your bracket online. Let people see your bracket.
My reading of the brackets. Actually, I haven't filled out a bracket yet. Hold on.
Are you in any bracket tournaments?
No. Am I too late to sign up? I haven't done a bracket yet. I've been too busy. And I know the playing games start today. Did I?
No, you're not too late. I'm in one with Glenn Clark and one with Jeremy Kahn. So you can get it.
But what about those playing games? Do they count?
No.
Tonight there's a playing
game. They don't count. They don't count. Okay. They don't count.
Hey, you need to go to bed, okay? So. That's Uncle Josh. Say hi, Uncle Josh.
Hey, Faye. Hi, Faye.
Hello.
All right, go to bed. I'll come put your blanket on later. Go to bed. Bye.
Single dad night's going well.
Yeah, I got the kids. My least favorite part of parenting is putting kids to bed. It doesn't matter when I start. It doesn't end till
it 8. Never ends.
And then, like, I can start at 6. I can start at 7. 8 o'clock is when they go to bed. And then this was an 8:15 walkout. We had an 8:15 walkout for Faye. Now she's roaming around the house somewhere.
Is she gonna wander back to her room, or do we need to pause the show here and you go make sure she gets to bed?
I'm just gonna.
I thought about
just putting a movie on them to stay up or something because I knew they keep on coming down.
I can rattle through my brackets while you go put it in bed.
No, but can I say one other comment about my bracket? I don't have a bracket yet. I'm gonna fill one out one of these days. That the playing game. That's one of the things where universally, I don't know if there's anything in sports where universally everyone has hated it for the last several years. Everyone hates the playing games, right? If you're not good enough to be in the 64, you shouldn't be in it. Everyone hates the playing game. Yet somehow the playing game still exists.
Of course it exists. It's money. Are you going to watch the playing games tonight?
No.
Are the playing games on national TV?
Playing game in my life.
Is the play on game on national TV? Yes.
I don't know why the playing game
exists.
Okay, but Josh, you could say that. Well, why not 100 teams? Why not 200 teams?
I don't know. Right. I see what you're saying about it, but it exists to add that excitement, like a one game wild card game.
I mean, it's my same issue with baseball. If you're not good enough to be a top 12 team, if you're not good enough to be top 64 team, then maybe you should just be, you know, you should not make a tournament. I think that's okay. Like even the bubble teams, like, dude, we're not talking about like the top 5 teams. It's not like the college football playoffs. You got 64 teams in there. There's a lot of teams. So if you can't get in the 64, get out of here with that. But fine, I need to fill out a bracket, but I'll resist my reading of the bracket because you do have a lot to get to. Rule changes and potential signings. All that. Some real signings. All that stuff.
Real signings. Exactly. Excitement. Yeah. So.
But the lockout's over. The whole process was a little confusing to me, but whatever. I'm cool with it. It's over. I didn't really understand what happened. I still don't really understand what just
happened. I never understood how they got to a lockout. It was always confusing.
Yeah.
Why the lockout took 100 days.
And why they said this is to stop tanking, and then there was nothing done to stop tanking. But whatever, I don't care. I'm just happy they're playing again. And players can make a little bit more, and the minor and the rookies can make a little bit more. So okay, fine.
Right, and then the mediocre players can be a better deal, a better bargain price for teams. So then they get to play a little longer. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
But we don't care about the money side of baseball. Not really.
No. I was really pleased that A, there's going to be baseball. B, there's going to be 162. C, I'm a fan of almost all the kind of the updates and the rule changes that really affect the viewing experience.
For the most part, I am too.
Baseball kind of took these steps. I think it's about time that they did this. And so I'm excited about. You want to go real quickly through the new rules?
Sure. Well, 12 games, 12 team expanded playoffs.
Yeah,
and I believe that's no more one game wild card. It's a 3-game right series, from what I remember.
Okay, I don't know what the series breakdown is.
All right, so I like that. I'm fine with that. Universal DH, fine with that. I like the idea of both American and National League playing on the same playing by the same rules.
Yeah, about 10 years too late, but good.
Yeah, exactly. 10 years. You mean like 20 years? As soon as they started interleague play,
it should have. Caring about it 10 years ago or something.
Now, I guess, and going along with that, in 2023 is less of a weighted schedule and more of you play every team. at least once. So I, as a Oriole fan in the AL East, I love that.
Yeah,
if we have to play the Yankees, Red Sox less, sounds great.
As what team is Freddie Freeman interested in? Oh, he's interested, or what teams are talking to Freddie Freeman? Oh, the Dodgers, and then the Yankees, Red Sox, Rays, and Blue Jays. Okay, cool, cool. Uh-huh. Dodgers, exactly. Team in the AL East.
Yep. All right, 9-inning games and doubleheaders. I think it's ridiculous that that even had to be listed as a rule.
Yeah,
because I thought the 7 innings was a COVID thing. That was embarrassing.
Yeah, that's embarrassing. That's not baseball. Get out of here.
No runners on base to start in extra innings. I don't like this.
Currently up for debate.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I enjoyed it.
That they're going to revisit it, but yeah.
But, all right, here's the other thing. The rumors of what they're revisiting, I like. They're talking about bringing this back, but not until the 12th inning.
Oh,
I like that. I like that. I think that's a really good idea because it brings that excitement, but also puts that pressure on a little early.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I like that.
I think it's a good compromise because I didn't know that was a thing, but I don't know how to feel about it. I don't have strong feelings one way or the other, but I think that would make everybody happy if you did it, even like an 11th inning type thing. Yeah.
Right. Right. Exactly. So I think that's a really good compromise.
Yep. I agree.
Yeah. So those were the rules I jotted down.
Whoa. There's two ones. Did you mention this? One.
Oh, larger bases.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of larger bases.
As a softball player, I am also a fan of safety, larger bases. I don't know why people are so angry about larger bases. It's a safety issue.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't really understand why I feel strongly about it. No, the reason I like it is I don't care about safety of the players that much. I'm not out there running. I don't care. But it's the bases are now just
a couple inches shorter,
close to one another, which may slightly encourage more base running and stealing. And the second reason is, I don't know if this will help, Josh.
I don't know if that's true, by the way. I don't know if that's true.
I bet the stolen base numbers, Josh, are up.
How do you know the larger size of the base isn't into the foul territory?
Well, I would assume it would go around the entire circumference, so every edge would grow.
Right, but wouldn't you just have to bump second base like back 2 inches, and then it's still your 90 feet?
Yeah, but they're not going to – no, it's going to be 90 feet to center. They're not going to bump it anywhere. The center will stay the same. It's just the
– I guess you're right. I guess it is to – is it to center or is it to side?
Oh, I don't know. Now I always assumed it was center to center, but now I'm not sure. Is it edge to edge? I thought it was center to center, but I'm not sure.
It was larger
but
bases.
Yeah, so maybe my theory is wrong, but I thought maybe the, you know, you get an inch here on this side, an inch there on that side. And, you know, all these stolen bases are often bang, bang. I haven't heard anyone talk about this, and I don't know if this is true, but, like, one of the things I hate most about baseball, and I love almost everything about baseball, but one of the things I hate is when instant replay, when a player's sliding in the second base or something, like when they're stealing or whatever, hitting a double, and their foot like goes up like half an inch, and then that's when they're tagged.
Right.
When clearly they got there first, it just like the impact of the bag caused the foot to lift up just a hair.
Right.
And I don't know if bigger bags might help with that, but if it does at all, I'm for it.
It goes from 15 inches to 18 inches.
Yes. Yeah.
And again, this is another thing where they've been using the bigger bags in AAA already.
Right.
So it's one of these things. And I forgot my favorite of the rule changes,
that they're banning
the shift.
Yeah.
Which they haven't laid out how they're going to do that yet. I imagine it'll be so many players have to start like on a certain side of second base. So you can't. Yeah. I imagine they'll do something like that. I like that. We've talked many times about the shift and how it destroyed Chris Davis's career. And I get the argument of, well, just learn how to hit on the other side. But again, we talk about this in football and how football has their rules committee to every year try to balance the game to make sure you want offense and defense to be even. And the shift really dramatically puts stuff heavy on the defense side. So I like it. I like balancing it out.
Yeah, like I think you gave hitters enough time to adjust if they wanted to, and they refused. So then I'm
sure.
So from a baseball perspective, my whole goal is to get the most entertaining product on there. And if the baseball players aren't going to hit the ball the other way, then I can't make them hit the ball the other way.
Right.
And so my then move is to make the game more entertaining, is to ban the shift so there's more offense. I've been on that for years and years before it was cool to ban the shift. But My only concern, if I had one argument against it, my only concern is, will this produce, because what we want to avoid is this, you know, the three outcomes, strike, home run, strike out, home run, and walk, right? We want more right. kind of singles. And I hope this will encourage that. I hope this doesn't just encourage like Joey Gallo and the other lefties to just kind of their careers to hang on. These bad hitters who all they do is hit home runs and strike out and walk, where Joey Gallo might be out of the league in 2 years, but now because they manned the shift, he can hang on for a little longer. But overall, I'm a huge fan of the shift because I think it will increase offense and singles and all that stuff, and I think that's good. More base runners, and it's good for baseball.
Well, Gallo will hang around a little longer thanks to the DH now in both divisions. Opens up his market a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. So Nelson Cruz signed with the Nationals.
Right, that would have never happened.
So yeah,
without the DH change,
and good for Nelson Cruz making $100 million. I don't know how many million that he's made
at 65 years old.
Yeah, after leaving the Orioles, and we thought maybe he was done after the Orioles. And how long ago was that? Yeah.
Right, that was about 10 years.
Yeah,
And then the pitch clock. They're gonna
bring it. Is that a real thing? I am waiting to see if that's a real thing.
I believe it's a real thing.
Right. They said it's a thing.
They say 14 seconds with the bases empty, 19 seconds with the runners on. They've had the pitch clock like counting for years at the stadium, but they've never enforced it.
That's what I want to know, Josh. What's the enforcement policy? And will they enforce it? What's the punishment? What will they do? That's what I want to wait and see. I have mixed feelings about the pitch clock.
Oh, and did I see the dropped strike? Did they change that rule too?
I think they're experimenting with a couple of rules in the Atlanta League. I think you might have.
Is that where you can steal first base with any dropped ball, any ball the catcher doesn't catch, you can steal first base?
Maybe that's something they're experimenting in the Atlanta League. I haven't heard that.
That's Atlantic League. So maybe they haven't brought that into Major League yet.
Yeah, and I saw people getting kind of up in arms about some of the rules for the Atlantic League that they're proposing. Guys, these are...
Try everything.
It doesn't matter.
It's the Atlantic League. If you want to try spin on a bat before you go.
Yeah, yeah, let them try whatever they want. We can do Savannah Banana stuff down there. Like, who cares? It does not matter. If a fan catches it, it counts as an out. Who cares? Like, I just care about the Major League product and going to try new things out. It's a great testing ground to try out some new ideas. All right. You want to get into some of the Orioles news?
Yeah. So the Orioles signed Carlos Correa. Or did they not? Is that
any breaking news, Josh? Do you have a source?
No, I guess that's... Sorry, that's my notes with rumors. So that's rumor notes. All right, so they signed Jordan Lyles.
Yeah, like a year ago, sure.
Yeah, well, they finally officially signed him.
Yeah, that was pre-lockout. They agreed to the deal. Post-lockout, they finalized it, sure.
All right, they signed Robinson Chirino.
Yep, who is a veteran catcher.
Right.
So no need to bring out games, maybe 30 this year. Hope the less games he plays, the better.
Probably a Sunday catcher type thing.
Yeah, but now we officially have... I assume he was put on... I haven't looked at the latest.
We officially have a catcher right now on the roster. We have
one catcher on the 40-man roster.
Yep. Connor Green is back with the Orioles to a minor league deal.
Yep, fine. He throws the ball really hard. Good for him.
And Chris Owens signed to a minor league deal.
Yep. Utility guy, can play multiple positions in the infield. As if we don't have enough mediocre infielders. Here's another one.
Yep. So did I miss anyone? Those are all the guys we signed in the past week, right? Since stuff opened up?
Yeah, I think that sounds about right.
All right. So nothing real exciting there. It's like just stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's nothing exciting there. The most exciting thing has been the rumors. And it's been Raul, been one dude on Twitter spitting these rumors, but whatever, I'll take it. I'll believe it. And the two rumors are, the Carlos Correa everybody knows about, but the other one, the same dude mentioned, is Danny Duffy as a starting pitcher option, who is one of the best remaining starting pitching options available. Played last year with the Dodgers. Again, he's not he's not the best guy in the world, but he would slot in. I mean, I think I would put him above Jordan Lyles. I think he would be a number two, and Jordan Lyles would fall down to number three. So Daniel Duffy would actually be a nice addition. I think the rumors, Josh, even if they'd sign neither Correa or Daniel Duffy, isn't nice that there are rumors about the Orioles signing?
Yeah, but here's what I find interesting.
Yeah.
I find it very interesting that there's rumors on Twitter about Orioles signing these guys, but no one will touch this. You will not find it on MLB trade rumors. On the MLB trade rumors will write articles about all the other teams that they've heard rumors about with Carlos Correa, but they won't mention the Orioles.
Yeah.
So it's a little odd where it's like, are these fake rumors or not?
Yeah. I mean, I mean, the guy who's been reporting it, right, is this guy named Raul Ramos, right? Who, I mean, I don't know much about him. His bio says he covers the Mets and Yankees for MLB.
Right.
So it's a little bit weird that he's the guy breaking the news. But it's interesting that he has he reported the Daniel Duffy stuff and the Carlos Correa stuff, which leads one to think
that they're made up.
No, that he has some in within the Orioles executive team or something.
Or he's decided, where can I make some ground? Where are the suckers that'll believe anything? Oh, it's those Oriole fans. It's Oriole fans that get burned constantly. Because I haven't seen one thing that he says come true yet.
He's not. I'm guessing that's not it.
All right. Then is something that he says true going to come out?
Justin, I mean, all right. Question. Do you believe the Orioles offered, not that they're going to sign Carlos Correa, do you believe that they have pursued, offered, had talks with Correa's agent about a contract?
350-10 is what the rumor was. So do I believe the Orioles offered 350-10?
Yeah.
I hope so.
Or any offer, or any real offer.
Any real offer is...
Do you think they offered Carlos Correa a multi-year big-time contract?
No, I don't.
You'll think they did?
I don't think they did. Because of the fact that no one else is running with this story. If the Orioles offered Carlos Correa 10-350 and the Astros are pursuing Carlos Correa, someone in Correa's camp would have leaked that the Orioles offered him 10-350 so that the Astros would make the same offer or a close to offer. The fact that this Raul Ramos guy is the only guy running with this story, I don't believe it.
I don't know. I think with this whole with the whole Michael Ash regime, I think they just in general play things more close to the vest. And so right. I think it's more,
I believe that. But I don't think why would Carlos Correa's team keep this close to the vest? 10-350 is more than he's predicted to be getting. So wouldn't you put that out there so that other teams would get close to that? You have this these Josh, leaks from agents all the time. His agent is Scott Boras, right?
Yeah.
You're telling me Scott Boras is not going to play and not going to push this to the media?
He doesn't need to push it to the media.
Why?
Because he can push it to the Houston Astros management. Like, that's all he needs to push it to.
Sure, I guess. But he wants to set the market. He wants to, by putting it out in the media, you set the market. This stuff leaks. There's no way the Orioles made it.
I don't think specific contracts offered by teams leaks all that much anymore. I don't think it does.
There's no way the Orioles made a 10-year 350 offer and nobody's taking it serious except for this Raul Raymond guy.
Josh, I mean, we don't know the specific offers that have been for Freddie Freeman. There's like seven teams interested in him. Certainly someone could leak how much one team has offered to drive the price up, but it's not done. So, I mean, we've heard nothing about, well, what about the other way around? We've heard nothing about what the Astros are offering him.
Yeah, we have 5-160.
Oh, that was earlier though. That's not this free agency.
No, that was pre-lockdown lockout.
I thought that was even during the season or something.
No, that was, and then, yeah.
And that was for the most part scoffed at. I mean, I don't see people releasing, you know, Chris Bryant's number. I just don't see a lot of numbers being released across the media. So I don't think that means much, the fact that no one else has leaked it. Now, maybe after he signs the deal, it'll come out. If Michael Ash was to say face and say, listen, we offered him, though, I don't know if that looks good to say that you offered a guy and he didn't take it. You offered him more years and more money and you didn't take it. Does that make you look good because you offered him more to your fans, or does it make you look bad because you offered him more and you still couldn't sign him? I don't know.
All right, they're expecting him more than Corey Seager. In November, they offered him $5,360. Correa was offered and rejected a $10,275 from the Tigers.
Oh, yeah, the Tigers one was reported too, $10,275. And that's when people started saying he wants to make more than $300. Yeah.
Right. He reportedly sought to get $330 for 10 before the lockout. Let's see, but you're right. The only price tag I see is the Tigers, but why would you go and write the Tigers and what they offered, but not write, oh, and the Orioles also offered $10,350. The Tigers are in the same place as the Orioles, up and coming, bunch of young guys. Maybe they're a year ahead of the Orioles. Why would one get written up and the other not?
I don't know. And if he wanted 325, and the report is that the Orioles offered him 10 at 350.
Right, then he'd jump at it.
Stuff. Maybe he wants an opt-out or something. There's rumors now that maybe he'll sign a one-year deal with the Astros. Right. Buster Olney's reporting that Scott Boras just got hired. So if he got a 10-year deal, Scott Boras would have to split it with the other agency. So maybe he'll just do a one-year deal. So then when he has a multi-year deal, Scott Boras can get all the money.
That's a Scott Boras move all over, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what Buster Olney tweeted out as a possibility. And hey, listen, some people, I mean, as obnoxious as this Carlos Correa talk is, if he signs a one-year deal, we're going to do this all again next offseason. And maybe it'll match up better with our timeline too. Who knows?
We'll find out.
But
sure, a one-year deal, great. I don't think, why would he get a one-year deal? I don't, unless it's some type of shady thing like, hey, we can get you more money next year.
Right, that's not shady. Players do that a lot. Sign a one-year deal and then...
All right, so on the record, you believe that the Orioles made this offer?
I don't know if it was $350 million. That sounds kind of insane, to be honest. He would have taken it if it was really $350. But have they offered Carlos Correa... I mean, Josh, Mike Elias said it's unlikely that they sign anyone. What was his quote? It was unlikely that
they sign a multi-year player. He didn't say we didn't make an offer. He said it's unlikely we get the multi-year deal.
It's unlikely that Correa
we make a multi-year deal. Right. So maybe, I mean, and it's easy for him to say unlikely. And then, hey, Correa signs 10-year. Guys, I told you it was unlikely. I didn't even believe we were going to get Correa. I mean, he just put it out there, you know?
I mean, he said 2 years ago that Adley Rutschman could make an appearance.
On the 60-game season.
Yeah, shortened season. So anything's possible. I think it's, I don't know about the number 350, but I do think that I think it's very possible the Orioles offered a 10-year, multi-year deal to Carlos Correa.
I'd love to believe that. I just have trouble believing that.
Why do you have trouble believing it, Josh? Because you have trouble believing the Orioles would spend money? Is that why you have trouble believing it?
No. I have trouble believing that he would turn down $10,350.
Okay.
He's not going to get a better offer than $10,350.
He won't.
You know, no one's paying $10,360. He's not going to get a better deal than that.
Yeah.
So for him to turn that, for all the talk of, I'm okay to go to a rebuilding team. If you want to go to a rebuilding team, the Orioles are the one to go to. The Orioles and the Tigers are the two that are rebuilding, but a year or two away. They're close. They're up and coming. You can make a huge impact. So when he says that, and then they offer him $10,350, if you're Carlos Correa, why are you not jumping on that?
Well, because it's maybe one reason, because the Orioles, right? The Orioles have not shown, and even if you give them this whole rebuilding, they haven't shown, right, to be consistently good at producing winning ball clubs, right?
No, they haven't. But you. But again, if you're going to a rebuilding team, you're showing your playbook for the next 5-6 years. You're showing the not just Adley, D.L. Hall, Grayson Rodriguez. You're showing Kobe Mayo, Gunnar Henderson, Jordan Westbrook, Hurstead. You're showing all these guys. So you're lining all these guys up to say, hey, we've got plans for the future. Plus, here's a giant pile of cash that no one else has given you.
Yeah, but if I'm Carlos Correa, I also might want to say, well, that's all well and good. Call me when you're good, because you're not.
Yeah, well, yeah. But again, if you're open to a rebuilding team and you want the most money you can get, that's it.
Yeah, so, but that's two factors. You have to be open to a rebuilding team and then take the money. Oh, and by the way, you're a right-handed hitter, and we just moved the left field wall back.
But I get that. But you've got enough power. You'll be fine. Yeah, what if Carlos Correa was really contemplating Orioles, but then the lockout happened, and then during the lockout, the Orioles moved left field, so he's like, ah, never mind.
If that comes out, I would immediately get on the Fire Mike Elias train.
If it came out that we lost Correa because we moved the wall.
Lost him is because Elias decided to move the wall back. Or, like, change of plans, move the wall back in.
Yeah, exactly. Just bring it in. Guy, right. If Carlos Correa, we told Mike Elias that. Then Mike Elias would say, you know what? We're not moving the wall. I was just kidding. We're making that an extra bullpen. We're making a party pen there. And then we put the wall back, and we put some pavilion seats there, and we go like, yeah, this is the new what's the bullpen place up on top of the bird's nest or whatever? What do they call that? The O's nest? Now here's the ground nest for ground birds.
Yeah. Now I get behind that. The other one is Daniel Duffy, which I was happy to hear. I don't know how realistic it is again with Carlos Correa and stuff, but Josh, we need to sign at least one more starting pitcher. Are we there? Like, I think we need another starting pitcher. Another
veteran, and Danny Duffy makes a lot of sense. The Orioles tried to get Danny Duffy like back in like 2016, 2017. Back in the day, Duquette was trying to get Dan Duffy. So he could definitely help out the Orioles. But again, are you believing Raul Ramos?
Yeah, I don't know. But I just hope we get somebody. The other, I guess we mentioned the quote about Mike Elias, the multi-year deal. The other kind of notable quote that came out from Mike Elias was about kind of who could come up and when. I know it stuck out to me when he said about D.L. Hall, that D.L. Hall could get to the majors this year, and he said, you know, might be faster than a lot of people are expecting. So that, I think that's encouraging.
Can't wait to see D.L. Hall on opening day. Well, I guess he'd be game 4 or 5, not opening day. But, no, it's exciting. I mean, it's exciting to think that D.L. Hall, Grayson Rodriguez, and Adley Rutschman could all show up in Camden this summer.
Yeah, so for me, this is the story of the season that we don't know. And to me, it's the biggest storyline of the season. And that's because we haven't seen it yet.
No,
we haven't had made any major prospects yet. But how quickly does Mike Elias promote these young players? To me, that's the biggest storyline. Yeah. Will Adley Rutschman make opening day?
Right.
Will Grayson Rodriguez be up? I mean, D.L. Hall is actually a few years older than Grayson Rodriguez. So with D.L. Hall, it could even appear for Grayson Rodriguez is possible. If they're both dominating the minors and D.L. Hall looks good and gets control, I mean, that's D.L. Hall's big thing is health and control. So, yeah, how quickly, now that the guys are at AAA and AA, how quickly will Mike Elias promote these guys? Also, and D.L. Hall is on the 40-man, so all those reasons, D.L. Hall might make it to the majors before Grayson Rodriguez. It's very possible.
Yeah. But I mean, either way, we're going to see all those guys this summer. So that brings us into now that the O's have all reported spring training, the non-roster invites is Marcus Duplan. That's a random guy we signed this offseason, right? To like a minor league deal with it. All right. Rico Garcia, right-hand pitcher. Who's he?
I have no idea. That's the first time I've ever heard his name.
Ryan Hartman, left-hand pitcher. Blaine Knight, right-hand pitcher. Travis Latkins, senior, right-hand pitcher.
Yeah, Travis Latkins was on the team last year, sure.
Right. Afelky Peralta, right-hand pitcher. Denny Reyes, right-hand pitcher. None of those guys are interesting to me. But okay. Grayson Rodriguez.
Oh, fuck is, Brock a little bit, yeah, yeah.
Cody Sedlock is Nick Vespi and Spencer Watkins. So it's nice to see some pitchers get their spring invites, and it's interesting to see, does Grayson stick around? How long does Cody Sedlock stick around? Do they keep him around for all of spring training, or is it a quick move him out, especially with the shortened spring training?
Yeah, I mean, the it's hard to make out the non-roster invitees at two positions, pitcher and catcher, because you just need a lot of arms.
Exactly.
To throw a pitch. You need a lot of catchers to catch those arms.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I think Falky Peralta is a really interesting name and a good – he was good in the minors, and I think he's someone to watch, but I don't think he's making the day out of opening day. Neither is Cody Sedlock.
No. It's just like when you look at the catcher list. Adley Rutschman, clearly he's got a good shot at making opening day. The rest of these guys are there to help you catch because you have a lot of players and a lot of pitchers. Anthony Bamboom, Brett Cumberland, Maverick Hanley, Jacob Nottingham, and Cody Roberts. None of those guys should be with the team.
Yeah, I mean, Jacob Nottingham is the most likely guy to make it on the opening day roster.
If you hold off Adley.
Adley Rutschman's not there, yeah.
All right. And then Patrick Dorian, Shed Long Jr., Richie Martin, Robert Nystrom, and Kyle Stowers are the other infielder and outfielders.
Yeah,
again, nothing special there.
Well, those outfielders are two young players that people are excited about, Kyle Stowers and Robert Nystrom. So,
yeah, but they're too young for this year, right?
No, they'll both be up this year, I think.
Do you think we'll see them this year?
Yeah, they both played. I mean, Robert Nystrom was at AA, I think, all last year, and Kyle Stowers, he might have even gotten to AAA last year. I don't got to listen to On the Verge podcast for that, but yeah, I think both those guys are very likely to be up this year.
Okay. All right.
And good. Patrick Dorian, Shed Long Jr., Richie Martin, that's just the utility depth. That's 34A guys. Throw them in there with Jamai Jones and Jorge Mateo and all those guys. Kevin Gutierrez. Right. All those guys. Josh, it was interesting. This year, there was no Rule 5 draft because of all the shenanigans.
Right. Is that good or bad for the Orioles?
Well, I saw a lot of people who follow our minors, like, breathe a sigh of relief that, okay.
We didn't have to protect people.
Yeah. No one's taking Nick Vespi. No one's taking Cody Sedlock.
That means no wild card in our bullpen this year.
Yeah, like I think it actually hurt us because we, having the worst record in baseball last year, we would have had the first overall pick during the Rule 5. And if you think that we have some guys unprotected who are good, I mean, other teams, right?
Right, have even better.
And I think they have better players unprotected than we have.
Yeah.
Better unprotected. Though, with that said, I think, I mean, last year, Oriole fans still remember that we lost Zach Pop, which was, I'm sure, if Mike Elias could identify kind of a big mistake he made last year, I'm sure he's kicking himself for not protecting Zach Pop. So I guess it's nice that we're not going to lose a Zach Pop type player. But yeah, it would have been nice also to have the next Tyler Wells in our bullpen or whatever.
Yeah, but that's all right.
There's talk, by the way, that there might be, I know we're kind of jumping all over the place, there's just a lot of stuff, that they're moving Tyler Wells. They're going to stretch him out as a long reliever or something. Have you heard any of these reports, Josh?
No, but I mean, it makes sense. That's the one thing I think when I look at the pitching this year and the changes is the fact that we need inning relief, that we need guys that can eat up innings. So if they think Tyler Wells can be that long relief guy that can get you through that, that sounds good to me.
Yeah, people forget before he was a bullpen guy with us, he was a starter. And so it feels weird stretching him out to be a long reliever. Like, I felt like you just kind of shrunk him down to be a closer, so now you got to stretch him out again. But, like, I think starters are more valuable. We need starters. I think you can find bullpen arms kind of a dime a dozen. So if he has the potential to be a long reliever this year, then transition into a starter, like I say, I'm all for it. I think the argument against it would be, like, last year he was pretty good in the bullpen. If it's not broke.
Yeah.
Why would you mess with it? But I think that's something interesting to see.
Because I'd say
if they ever televise a game and into the beginning of the season, how is Tyler Wells used in that bullpen?
Right, and I would say I get your argument of if it's don't broke, don't, or why break it? But it really, it's, is it anything ever actually put together on this team yet? You got to give it a couple more years until you say nothing's broken.
Right, right. Yeah, I don't think, is Tyler Wells, is he your long-term solution as the closer? Is he your World Series winning closer? I don't know if, I don't think we can definitively say that. I'm sure there's better options out there than Tyler Wells. And, so realistically, he'll be a 6 or 7 in the guy anyway. And by the time you're competing like that.
Right. And if you think that guy's got stuff that can get you not through just one inning, but get you through 3 innings, isn't he going to make you a better impact with more innings?
Right.
No matter what the pressure is, it kind of goes down to years ago. We talked on this with Britton and all the other closers we've had. We talked about the closer position and is the closer position going away? Is the closer position even important, or is it better to bring in that best arm when you hit that middle of the lineup?
Yeah. Or like it could be the fourth inning and there could be 2 runners on and a tie game.
Right. Situation.
That could be the most crucial situation of the entire game in the fourth inning. Could determine whether you win or lose. And there are innings and there are at bats that had more value than other at bats in terms of the outcome of the game. So
right. Do you really want
a good arm in there?
Right. Do you really want to hold your great arm because he's a closer until the bottom of the ninth so he can face batters 6, 7, and 8?
Right.
When maybe the inning before the eighth inning is when you really could have used him to face 3, 4, 5.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, the situation happens where you never even get to the point where you can use Zach Britton. And so he ends up, the best pitcher in baseball, ends up just staying in the bullpen the entire game and never even gets used because you're just waiting for him to, you know, to finish off the game, but it never gets there. So he's never used, and you never use the best pitcher in baseball.
Maybe so. We'll see. I'm not going to. I know what you're going with. You're going with the Lobato Jimenez, bringing him in Toronto. I don't really want to go there.
Maybe we'll see.
I don't want to go there.
Josh, you went there. I didn't go there. I was just
saying maybe you lose. You lose the game because you bring in a washed up starter that shouldn't be even in a game that you
paid to begin with.
Guy that you brought to Canada for some reason. Thankfully this year, at least you'd have to leave him behind because he doesn't have the vaccine. And then I don't know. Is Lobato Jimenez still even pitching? I'm not even sure.
No, he's not pitching. If he was a Yankee, probably would be unvaccinated and therefore not be able to play in Toronto. I'm over here, Josh. People are like stressing about, you know, how many players will the Yankees go to play in Canada. And I'm over here. Do you know where my mind's at?
Where's your mind at?
I'm over here looking at how many games they play against Toronto. And then I'm on our betting website looking at the over-under win total for the Yankees and thinking, is this going to be enough to push them the under for the win total if they have to play with half their lineup when they go to Toronto? If this could be an edge. Is this a betting edge for me right now? That's where my money went.
That's funny. That's, you know, where my money went today is I bought tickets for the first 2 games of the season as the Orioles open up their season in Tampa.
Nice.
So, season opener.
Are those hard tickets to get? I don't know. Does Tampa sell out opening day?
Tampa does sell out opening day.
Oh, good.
So, I went third party for that. But actually, they weren't sold out yet, but I imagine they will sell out. But I went and bought some nice seats for Friday and Saturday. So, I'll at least catch the first 2 games of the year since I won't be able to fly up for opening day in Baltimore.
That's nice. It's a weekend.
Oh, it's a Friday. It's a Friday, 3 o'clock, and a Saturday, 1 o'clock.
Oh,
it's awesome. That's how opening day always should be. Forget this Thursday, Saturday stuff.
Yeah. Hey, I still have tickets for Orioles opening day, right? We still have tickets for that?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I had the discussion today.
Okay, good.
It's a little confusing. And yeah. Someone's got to give the Orioles a call. Because when I open up the app, it shows the 8 tickets for Orioles opening day with no date on it. But then it shows 4 different tickets in section 336, where our normal seats are for with that's actually dated and time stamped and all for the proper opening day. See how that shows Orioles opening day, 8 tickets. And then right below it, it says Monday, April 11th, 4 tickets, Orioles home opener. The 8 tickets have seats, but no time or date or anything. It just says Orioles opening day.
Oh, that's weird.
So I don't know how they can do that and also have the Monday, April 11th that has our normal tickets and parking pass. So you're covered for opening day.
Did we always have tickets for April 11th? Or no, they were...
Yes.
Oh, okay.
We always had tickets for April 11th.
Yeah.
So even before it was opening day. So that's what's shifted around.
Oh, yeah. So that's weird.
So I'm not sure what the Orioles are doing there, but I lined up my tickets for in Tampa. So I can at least... I cannot wait to see some baseball.
Yeah.
And I really hope Adley's there. I really hope I'm at Adley's first game.
Yeah, I tweeted out, and I think all of Baltimore does, I tweeted out that, I don't know if you saw my tweet, a lot of people saw my tweet because it got a ton of likes.
Okay, all right.
No, my top tweet for likes, it used to be when I announced the birth of my son on Twitter. I got 73 likes for announcing the birth of my son. Tweeting about Adley, I got 75 likes. For now on, I got more tweets about tweeting about Adley than I did announcing the birth of my son. For now on, I'm just going to tweet about Adley all the time.
What?
Not that I care that much, just for the likes.
What was your tweet that was so popular?
I said, I'm convinced that Adley will be up for opening day. Relatedly, if he's not up for opening day, I will be very obnoxious on this site every time I see an Orioles catcher in uniform not named Rutschman.
All right. If you are Mike Elias and you want Adley to... Do you hold Adley back for 3 games and let him have his opener in his first Oriole game in Baltimore for the home opener instead of opening him up in Tampa?
Oh, no. I think you open up in Tampa, and then he can kind of, get his feet wet a little bit, too.
That's what I think, too. Because you want him initially, and then he can get his feet wet. If he does, if he has a decent game, get the nerves out, get a home run under his belt. So then when he's walking out to that orange carpet, everyone's excited. Yeah, a couple grand slams.
Yeah, the applause, whether he opens up in Tampa or opens up in Baltimore, the applause will be the same.
Right.
The applause will be deafening. Whether he goes 0-4, whether he strikes out every time in Tampa, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
When he gets
to Baltimore, it's not. It's not going to be who's the closer we had? Who's the closer we had that the Orioles started on the road and he blew
was that Kevin Gregg?
Yeah, he blew two or three saves before coming to Baltimore and got booed on opening day.
Yeah, that's not right. I'm a pro booer, but that's not right to boo anyone opening day. That would not happen with Adley. There's no scenario that Adley ever gets booed.
Yeah, I'm so hoping that I get to be at Adley's first game because of this weird shift around with the schedule. It'll be very special. I also figured, so I went and I bought good, decent seats, lower level, kind of behind home plate area, because who knows when the Orioles will ever start in Tampa again. It's a fun way to, it's a fun chance to go see the Orioles.
Yeah, maybe next time there's a lockout.
Right. Let's hope that 2 lockouts is enough for my lifetime.
Yeah, I agree. Get out of here. I got to find out where Faye is in my house. That's the first thing I'm going to do. When I end the podcast, the first thing I'm going to do is look in every room in my house. Any predictions on where Faye is right now?
I'm guessing Faye is asleep in her in the hallway right outside her bedroom.
Yeah, that's a likely possibility. Because She refused to go to sleep without her blanket. That's the worst. Whenever the blanket gets any kind of falls off or gets, in a bad angle, she comes down and asks me to fix her blanket. And she hasn't done that yet. So my thinking is she is somewhere on the floor in my house.
Does your son still sleep on the floor?
Tonight he is on the floor.
Okay,
a beautiful bed for him.
That means when I'm in town this weekend, I can use his bed.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you're going to play Cars 3 with him.
I forgot about it. I can't wait to play Cars 3. I can't wait.
He's obsessed. And he's getting pretty good. Yeah.
Totally forgot about it. I've been playing a bunch of Mario Kart to get ready, but I got to play some Cars 3. You're right.
Yeah, because you got to get all these skills. And we got about 10 more skills. I just can't get with Silas just because I can't work with him with it. And then they have 2 players to get him.
Oh, okay. Oh, so we got to play together. You're saying you need me to play some Cars 3 with you also?
Where there's team skills. We got to finish first and second in this team race, and I can't get him to finish second with
him. All right, we'll play some Cars 3. Yeah. Hey, can I tell you what? This weekend, I went to Georgia. Just a little personal thing. I went to Southern Georgia because my fiance. I also got engaged since our last show.
Just sneak that in there. Yeah,
I'll sneak that in there. But she has a house that she owns in Georgia, and she lives out in Southern Georgia, middle of nowhere. And we had to go kind of check it and get it ready to sell and stuff. So she mentioned that this house is on a dirt road. Now, Matt, you're from the Eastern Shore.
Yeah.
So there's some dirt roads there. When when someone tells you they live on a dirt road, what do you picture?
I picture a road, you know, with kind of padded down with dirt, like dry dirt. Right.
And gravel and, yeah.
Maybe like maybe not, but yeah.
Like a long driveway or something.
Yeah, like a long driveway.
Right.
Sure.
I had to turn onto four dirt roads before I got onto her dirt road.
Oh, multiple dirt roads.
Multiple dirt roads.
I was thinking singular dirt road. Okay.
Have you ever seen? It's a neighborhood of dirt roads. There's street signs. They do trash pickup on the dirt roads and everything. And I took my truck through there, and I had mud up on the windshield.
Like it's the 1930s again.
Yeah, it was like people out on the Eastern Shore, they go mudding, and they bring back, and their car's all covered with mud. Yeah. That's what it looked like from going on her dirt road. I've never experienced this before. Yeah. I thought dirt road meant a long driveway.
Yeah.
That was my weekend in Georgia. That's the big takeaway, is this dirt road.
Yeah, I might be going to – I'm going to Georgia next week or in 2 weeks, too.
Where are you going in Georgia?
I got a job interview at Mercer University in Macon, Georgia.
Oh, with the Macon Bacon.
Is that where the Macon Bacon are?
Yeah, that's the Macon Bacon. They're the big rivals of the Savannah Bananas.
Playing against Savannah Bananas? All right, that's good to know.
Yeah. All right. I'll have to look up how far Macon Bacon is from there. I also today got the Hard Mountain Dew. Do you have that in Maryland yet?
No, never heard of it. If we had it, I wouldn't know it, though. So maybe
do you like Mountain Dew?
I've hadn't had Mountain Dew since I was in high school, probably.
Me either, but I thought I'd try this. And
the
it
last
tastes
Mountain
just
Dew like, probably was a Code Red Mountain Dew.
It tastes just like Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
But I don't like Mountain Dew. But it tastes like Mountain Dew.
There you go.
I guess there's some alcohol in it.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, that's why it's Hard Mountain Dew. 5%. That's why I thought you might be interested in Mountain Dew now.
Well, I might have to try it out. I don't know. You drink the water that's supposed to be alcoholic, but it's just water. So I don't know what you drink over there.
Oh, yeah. I do have a liquid death can here, too.
Yeah. Liquid death, which is just water.
Yeah. Now, we have some different – we definitely have different drinks down here, though I know liquid death is nationwide.
Yeah.
I don't know. They might roll out stuff in Florida as a test case or whatever. So – also, I got into baseball cards. That's the other thing that happened to me in 2 weeks.
Oh, really?
Got into baseball cards. Got some cool baseball cards.
Yeah. Silas is too young for baseball cards. And right now, I'm too cheap for baseball cards.
Yeah.
But one day.
Yep. I shared some with my fiance's son, who is 8 years old. And he was very excited about it.
Yeah, it's perfect age for baseball cards.
Yeah, it's a great age for it. Except he doesn't understand, like, who to root for and who not to root for. So, like, he thinks he's a Braves fan because Braves are the closest baseball team.
Yeah.
And because they just won the World Series.
Yeah. That's kind of like Bert's kid. Every time you see Bert's kid, he's got a different jersey on from a different team. He's just
and then
a
he's
baseball
like,
fan.
His second team is the Yankees. So he wants me to pull out all the Yankees and Braves cards. And I keep telling him I'll give him the Braves cards, but the Yankee cards we got to set on fire. So
okay,
I'm
but
trying
don't
to
hate too much, Josh, because your second team is now the Mets, I know. So don't hate too much, because your second team is another New York team. Right.
Yes, but is it okay? The Mets and the Yankees are not the same. I think it's okay to cheer for the Mets, right?
Yeah, I agree it is.
So I had, never mind. We're going way over, just because we haven't talked in a while. I've got all types of things.
We'll get to it all next week.
Yeah, I'll give you a PlayStation update next week.
All right, that sounds good. I'll give you some movies I watched.
All right, let's record in person this weekend.
All right, that sounds good.
Let's record like Sunday night or something together.
I'm down. I'm around.
All right, I'll be up there.
All right.
All right.
You can follow us on Twitter.
There you go.
Yep, I was waiting for the music. You can follow us on Twitter. you can like us on iTunes, or you can write a review on iTunes. Like us on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter for all my Adley Rutschman tweets at Section336. You can follow Josh on Twitter
at Josh Soroka.
Thanks for listening, boys and girls. And as always, go O's. Haven't you heard? Got that underdog style, but we'll be crushing the curve. And we're
Haven't you heard? Got that underdog style, but we'll be crushing the curve.